race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
And bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they were to have been the views of General William Boykin, Lieutenant General William Boykin, who headed the Delta Force in his book Never Surrender, but he hasn't called in. Of course, we've left a message on his cell phone, and we'll hope that we have him back. So, basically, we're going to open lines this hour. Our telephone number, 1-888-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. So if you were thinking of calling in, last hour when, of course, we had lots of time there to reach us, why, till Joel Skousen came, give us a call now. That's 1-888-2, pardon me, you can reach us at 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And then, of course, we do hope many of you out there will certainly want to get my newsletters on the energy crisis. We put together some excellent newsletters on that. We have the September and October of the year 2005 gives you the background of the fact that there is no shortage of oil. There's plenty of oil out there in the world, and of course what they've done is they've manipulated the prices up, and they did this through commodity speculation. Of course, the environmental movement played their part, the executive branch of government played their part, the finest congressman money could buy played their part, and blocking the development of the massive oil supplies that we have here in the United States. But what really ran up the price of oil was commodity speculation. Well, we're fortunate we have it, Dr. Boykin on the line here, and thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Boykin.
I am glad to be with you. It's a delight to spend a little time with you this evening.
Well, of course, General Boykin's written a wonderful book called Never Surrender, and of course it's partly his Christian testimony and the importance that his belief in our Lord has played in directing his life. First of all in the military and then in the Rangers and then there when the Delta Force was originated and then, of course, some of the amazing experiences he had in the Delta Force, and then finally he ends up in command of this. But why don't you give us the background of what drove you to want to be in this elite group? I mean, we hear special forces and they're elite, but the Delta were sort of the elite of the elite, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they were. They were created in 1978 as a result of growing concern about the problem of terrorism, of all things. And so it was assessed that the current forces, including special forces, were not designed nor prepared to deal with terrorism and the acts of hostage taking and kidnapping and assassination. So Delta was created to counter that threat, and what brought me into it, really, I would have to tell you, as I say in my book, was really a God laid upon my heart that this was where I was supposed to be, and I felt very strongly that this was the direction I was to take.
And of course, you point out in your book, really, of course, the conflict that you felt and that some people had expressed about the relationship between a Christian being involved in the military, and of course, in this specific branch of the military, why, of course, a force, lethal force, was part of it. And yet, in your own mind, of course, from the scriptures, you're able really to justify what you were doing.
Absolutely, and it's something you have to reconcile at the very beginning of a military involvement, an enlistment or an engagement, and I believe that the roots of our nation are Judeo-Christian. I believe that God ordained this country to be created to ultimately be a light in a world of darkness.
Amen to that. Well, you won't get a disagreement here. Our guest, of course, is Lieutenant General William Boykin. We'll be back in just a moment here as we bring on some new stations.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash. Are you ready?
I, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I do hereby indict you, Dr. Peter Duesberg, for the deaths of millions of people worldwide through your role in the creation of AIDS.
Dr. Peter Duesberg, are you a mass murderer?
I'm afraid I'm not quite that powerful. I think Dr. Horowitz must have seen Dr. Strangelove once too many times. The retroviruses are the most harmless viruses that we know.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash, Are You Ready? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the most controversial program on the Genesis Communications Network. Find out why. Visit our website at www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Are you as prepared physically and spiritually as you can be for the uncertainties of 2008-2009? This is Elizabeth Border. You can request a free sample newsletter tracking the police state, both the Protestant and Roman Catholic signs of the great falling away. Just write your request to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland 21609. You can hear our internet program on the Classy Genesis Communications Network, GCNLive.com, 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. You can also hear it on shortwave Friday evenings on 5070, 7 p.m. Central. You can hear us on Saturday and Sunday evenings after Dr. Stan on Rick's Satellite. Sometimes Sally Lou and Pat Hockett will slip out of American Babylon to satirize, entertain, and yes, teach you in parable form. If you love the Republic, that old, beautiful America, be sure to tune in to the Divided Kingdom.
In just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were simply talking about General Boykin's the fact that he actually, of course, expressed his faith publicly and in churches to explain to people about the war. And, of course, he always had permission from his superiors to do this sort of thing. He talks about, of course, how important the faith of warriors is, because this is what sustains them in battle situations where they really face death on a regular basis. And so, but of course, he was severely criticized. I remember, of course, of reading the newspaper reports of this terrible general who was talking about God, you know, and trying to force his views on everybody else, and was trying to frame the battle, you know, that was going on in the Middle East as a battle between Christianity and the Muslim faith, which, of course, was exactly the opposite from what the president was saying. And in fact, weren't you even more or less criticized by the president of the United States for expressing publicly what you, what at least they said that you said, not that just you said it, but at least they attributed it to you? They were really out to get you, weren't they?
Well, they were, Dr. Stan, and yes, the president himself criticized me and in the Rose Garden to the really to the entire world, and that was one of the most painful experiences and painful moments of my life after serving my country for 33 years to have the commander-in-chief to criticize me. But he actually didn't know what I had said. He was only reacting to what those around him had told him.
Was it ever rectified? Of course, eventually they had an inspector general's investigation and you were exonerated, but during that time it must have been just terribly difficult for you and your family.
Dr. Stan, it was the most difficult period that my family and I have ever been through. And, you know, there were times, and I admitted in the book that you're talking about there, that there were times when I simply wanted to quit. I just wanted to give up. I wanted to, I actually at times wanted to die. I felt so miserable. But every time God would give me a scripture that would make it very clear to me that God was with me, that he was still in charge, and that I would get through it. But then, very interestingly, I would also feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, now you get back up and get in this battle. You know, I've called you for this and prepared you for this, and this serves my purpose. So it was both a blessing and a rebuke.
Well, of course, when you joined the Delta Forces, there really weren't very many people in it. How many were there initially in the Delta Force?
Oh, my goodness, in the early days, we had less than 100 people.
And, of course, they were simply, you were actually picked as an officer for this trial. And over the 150, I started out, and what, 18 finished, something like that?
Yeah, I think we started with 118 and 19 people finished.
So you had to be pretty hardy to do it, and of course it was just asking for superhuman effort, and they were really trying to get only the people who would be able to survive, because they knew they were the only ones who'd be able to survive in the situations they were going to put you into, and then of course training you in the, to be the ultimate in the warriors. And of course, time and time again, you were already thrust into these positions, weren't you, of danger and Hoskew rescues. When was the first Hoskew rescue that the Delta Force did?
Well, the first mission that we actually performed, that certainly a high-profile mission, was the attempted rescue of our 53 American hostages in Tehran in April of 1980. And, of course, you know that mission failed in the desert about 100 miles from Tehran when two aircraft collided on the ground there, and we had a terrible fire that evening.
But, of course, hadn't you already decided to abort the mission because most of the helicopters, they didn't have enough helicopters, the 10 that started? Oh, you only had, what, 5 or 6 left?
The mission had been aborted already, and we were really preparing to depart and go back to our original launch base in hopes of trying again the next night. But, yes, we were down to 5 helicopters, and we needed 6 to go forward, so... we had canceled the mission and were trying to get out of that remote desert site when the accident occurred. And, of course, you saw from my book there that we really saw sort of a miracle that night. Not sort of a miracle. We saw an absolute miracle that night when 45 of those men escaped from that burning wreckage.
And, of course, you were very lucky to get out of there. They were going to take off without you, weren't they?
Well, they were. It was a very frightening experience. I was standing around out in the darkness there trying to account for people when the C-130s started taxiing to take off. And I think I probably set an Olympic record that night for sprinting.
There were a couple of men that were still left behind. How did they get them out?
Well, there were a couple of people inside that ultimately got themselves out through regular commercial air, but with a great deal of difficulty and just by the proverbial skin of their teeth.
And basically what you planned to do was actually what, land across the field, across the street from the from the embassy there, and then you were going to, of course, just storm the embassy and seize the hostages and get them on the helicopters and get out. Was that the plan?
Well, we were going to land the helicopters in a remote site and then drive up to the embassy very clandestinely, attack the embassy, grab our hostages, and move to the soccer stadium across the street, where we would bring the helicopters in and have them extract all of us to another airfield that would be seized by Rangers, and then we'd all blow up the helicopters and get on the big C-141s and fly out of there.
You know, I talked to, interviewed Mate Sullivan. He was the former ambassador to Iraq, and he didn't really understand what the plan was. He said he didn't see how it would possibly work. He had left Iran before the hostages were taken, but your explanation sort of helps me to understand what the plan was, because he thought you were just going to land across the street. He didn't realize, of course, you're going to have the people come in by truck and or by car, and then of course the helicopters are only going to land after. Of course, the hostages have been secured. So that puts a whole different light on it. In fact, your book is really great because it gives us tremendous insight into so much that we've never really understood before.
Well, thank you. It was a little painful to write because I had to relive some of those episodes, but in the end, it was also my way of saying to all of my critics from 2003 and 2004, this is my side of the story. Now, once you've read this, you make a determination as to whether you still think I'm a fanatic and a crusader.
Well, of course, without faith, I don't believe we would have the military that we have today. Now, of course, you were there with the Black Hawk Down episode in Somalia. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because certainly this is one of the great, great tragedies, a situation that developed that certainly didn't go the way it was supposed to, but it certainly wasn't the fault of the people there. One of the things that really mystified me is, of course, you kept talking about you were back there watching what was going on the screen, and were the video cameras on the helicopters, or were you watching by satellite? How were you able to watch this unfolding drama that from headquarters?
Yeah, we had video, same thing you get on a news helicopter, for example. We had that being videoed right back into the airfield there in Mogadishu, where I had my command post set up, and so I was able to watch everything that was going on. And the fact is, we went into what we knew was going to be a very tough environment. And we got in a very tough fight, and we ultimately lost 16 Americans and that were killed and 76 that were wounded. But we also killed and wounded 1,100 of the Somali warriors. So it was a tactical victory by any military measure, but politically, because of the media coverage that we got of it, it was turned into a strategic loss.
Well, did they have video cameras on planes, on helicopters, or how are they getting the feed for you?
Yeah, the video was on the helicopters, and there was also one fixed-wing aircraft overhead that had a live-streaming video back into our operations center there.
And really, it's just amazing what the technology can do today. And of course, you're back there sort of helpless. The thing has all been planned. The thing that I've always wanted, Sydney, the United Nations forces there were supposedly under United Nations command. So how is it that the American government, independently, without the support of the other countries, was able to go in to try to get a deed? I mean, this was a unilateral act. Well, of course, it was supposedly a joint command situation.
Well, the ambassador there, who was actually responsible for the UN elements there, a former admiral, I think his name was Howe, actually asked for a resolution to bring a deed to The Hague for trial. And that's what prompted President Clinton to send us in. We were still under a UN mandate and a UN authorization. We were operating outside of the UN command structure there.
But they didn't give you any tanks. They didn't give you adequate helicopter coverage or gunship coverage. They didn't give you the equipment that you needed, did they?
No, they did not. And that was, you know, obviously in retrospect, for those who made that decision, I am sure that that was something that they will reflect on for a very long time, that we did not have the things we asked for. Certainly not the things that we needed.
And of course, the thing that, having studied, you know, what went on there, they were it was almost like they were waiting for you. They had the, you know, the grenade launchers, that, and they knew how to take down the helicopters. They had, you know, they had all these men, this tremendous concentration of men and firepower, almost as if they were waiting for the Americans to come. Did you ever have that feeling?
Well, we did, and the area we went into there is called the Bacara Market, and that was the absolute heart of the Habargitter clan, which was Muhammad Adid's clan that was causing so much of the mischief in all of Somalia. And yes, we knew that what they wanted to do was get us in a situation where they could get a helicopter down, and then they knew that the whole momentum would shift to their side, and it did.
Amen. Okay, we'll be back here in just a moment. They had all their forces there. They were well armed. They knew everything. It was almost like they knew it was going to happen.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Ted Anders from Midas, June 31st, 2008. Gold, 9 1970-ounce gold coins can be purchased for $946.05, $466.05 for half, $233.03 for quarter. That's $946.05, $466.05, and $233.03. Hedge funds caught in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. J.P. Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast out on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rory Boyd published the report Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our Doomsday Water Filter System. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Non-X Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Non-X Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Non-X Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Non-X Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Longs, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Philo, and Rite Aid.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. General Boykin is telling us about, of course, this hostage rescue that he and one other man from the Delta Force were involved in, and this was in the Sudan. Of course, the five American hostages or five missionaries had been taken captive by a group of radicals, and of course, they actually, of course, were quite willing to put them up for ransom at a very small amount of money. But the Sudanese government said, we're not going to negotiate with those, you know, because, of course, if we give them money, they'll just want to kidnap other people. So they sent in this force under Delta, with the Delta Force support, two people from Delta Force. And how many people did they have?
Oh, I would say they probably had somewhere between 80 and 100 people that executed the operation.
But, of course, at the end of the operation, of course, it was successful. All the missionaries got out safely. The terrorists were, of course, destroyed. Their organization was pretty well upset. But the American ambassador was just furious. And, of course, General Boykin is telling us about the meeting that they had afterwards, where he is being called on the carpet by this ambassador, saying, well, how could you possibly be involved in this? After all, you know, we've already made a public statement that no Americans were involved in this, and now you tell me that you two officers, you know, you've gone in there and you've helped the Sudanese, and so what happened?
Well, he the more he railed at us, the more I saw my life flashing in front of my face, if not my career as well. At any rate, I figured my career was over. And all of a sudden, a gentleman sitting to his right, who had said absolutely nothing through the entire thing, looked at the entire group and said, well, we at the White House believe that this was a very successful operation and really have no problems here. The ambassador stopped what he was saying. That was the end of it. He calmed down, and we all got up and left. And as I was going out the door, I said to my friend with me, you know, who is that guy sitting next to the ambassador that just saved my career? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know. He's some Marine Corps major up at the National Security Council named Ollie North.
And, of course, that really shows, of course, North was working at the highest echelons of our government at that time. And, of course, this was during the Reagan administration. And certainly this was a very successful hostage, And, of course, there was, you really were involved with so many other things. Of course, I think one of the significant stories you tell is the story of what happened at Waco. And, of course, what part the Delta Force played, you know, in advising what happened. And, of course, this terrible fiasco that developed when, of course, the government went in to protect the children because they were being abused, and ends up, of course, all the children are dead. So do you want to tell this story, because it's certainly such an important part of history?
Well, we were asked, I was the commander of Delta Force at the time, and we were asked by the FBI to provide them with some technical equipment that would help them in a remote way monitor what was going on inside the Branch Davidian compound. And Janet Reno asked me to go up to the White House, or not the White House, but to the Justice Department with her, to meet with the FBI director and to have a discussion about the FBI's plan to take down this compound. We looked at their plan. We told Ms. Reno, we said, this is not the way we would do it as a military operation. We are not law enforcement, so we can't grade your paper. We can't really make a comment. And they executed the plan that they laid out to Reno. We know the results of it. A lot of people were killed and a lot of devastation there. And ultimately, Reno identified that she had spoken to a couple of us before she executed this operation. And what she didn't say was they didn't concur with the way it was done. She just said she had conferred with us, and it led most people to believe that we were part of the operation or that we had concurred with the plan, which was not the case. So we were under quite a personal threat for quite some time from some of the family members.
The thing about this is that certainly the military is never to be used against the American personnel, and yet of course here was a military unit who was actually giving advice, or at least going over the plans with the FBI, and weren't a certain number of Delta people there simply acting in an advisory position?
They were not acting as advisors. They were there strictly to show the FBI how to use surveillance equipment. Camera kinds of stuff, and in fact, when the FBI executed the operation, the FBI said to them, you may not watch the monitors, you may not watch the operation, so they were essentially isolated so that they would not be witnesses, because had they been witnesses to the actual assault, they would have put them in a position to have potentially appeared in court as witnesses. So, no, they did not advise in terms of that.
Well, why did the FBI insist on going in? Because the children would be abused. I mean, a lot of people felt very strongly. We'll be back in just a moment and get General Boykin's response, because he was there.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TebowTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TebowTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TebowTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TebowTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Attention, GCN listeners. Would you like to watch uncensored, unregulated, even banned TV on your computer? Well, now you can watch satellite TV on your PC with an extremely simple hookup that allows computer owners to pick up more channels than any sane person can even watch without paying monthly cable or satellite fees. Here's the story. New video feed technology lets anyone with a high-speed internet connection gain instant access to an endless list of underground channels from all over the globe. And here's the best part. It's 100% legal. And it works at home, the office, or even in other countries to grab television channels and video feeds at your command. GCN listeners can use it to watch hundreds of conspiracy videos absolutely free. Best of all, you could be watching free TV on your PC in 5 minutes or less. It's that simple. Just go to www.orderfreetv.com. That's www.orderfreetv.com. To watch unregulated TV on your PC, go to www.orderfreetv.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is William Boykin, Lieutenant General William Boykin, and we simply had talked about, off air, about what had happened at Waco, and then we're going to get into Grenada, because, of course, he was there with the Delta forces were going into Grenada, and of course, that he was actually, as their helicopter was going into an airfield, why he was severely wounded. In fact, there was a serious question whether he would lose the entire use of his right arm. What happened? Or was it your right or your left arm?
It was a left arm. As we approached our target, which was a prison in which they were holding political prisoners, just as we made our approach by helicopter into the prison, the Cubans opened up with 50 caliber anti-aircraft weapons, and I was in the lead helicopter, so we took about 54 hits, and one of the 50 calibers, or I don't know whether it was one or multiple rounds, but I got hit in the side of my chest and then right through my armpit, and part of it came out the top of my shoulder. At any rate, it was a pretty serious wound, and it shattered the bone in my left arm right up at the shoulder blade, and they told me that I would never use the arm again. In fact, I found out years later they actually wanted to take my arm off, but I declined their invitation.
Well, of course, I was an orthopedic surgeon for many, many years, and of course, your description of the wound, why, of course, it just never should have healed, but it did heal. It healed without, of course, extensive surgery, bone grafting. It just sort of healed itself, and you always felt that God had played a part in that.
Well, I'm absolutely convinced that God restored my arm and gave me another chance to be a warrior, and so I've been very open about that. It was a miraculous healing.
Well, look, from your description, it was a miraculous healing, because by all rights, it never should have healed the way that it did without grafting and without extensive surgery. And did you get pretty good return of the use of your arm?
I did indeed. It's about a half inch shorter than the other one. But as I tell people, the only thing about it is the slice that I used to have is now a hook. It hasn't improved my handicap.
All right. Well, anyway, of course, you were an avid golfer, so I'm sure that slowed you down for a little bit of time. But then, of course, it was there were other military operations you were involved in after that, weren't there?
Yes. We, as I say in the book, we probably our next big operation was when we went into Panama in 1989 to take that country away from Manuel Noriega, and our first mission was to rescue a great American down there named Kurt Muse.
And how did you go about doing that? Did you just send a special forces team to get him, or what?
We actually landed on the top of the prison that that Noriega was holding him in, blew a hole in the roof, went down to his cell and blew his cell door off, and then brought him out to the roof and put him on a small helicopter. And as we took off, we started taking a lot of fire, and the helicopter was actually shot down with him in it, but everyone survived, and everyone, ultimately, we got all of them out of there, and Kurt Muse, the one we rescued, was unharmed.
So it really was an amazing, amazing, almost a miraculous thing when you're shot down in a helicopter and everybody survives and does quite well.
It was absolutely miraculous.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you know, there's just so many things that your life has been one of constant adventure, but it has really, really been very demanding, hasn't it? It certainly made you difficult for you and your family.
It has been difficult. You know, the number of times that I've left in the middle of the night and not been able to tell my family where I was going or how long I would be gone has been very difficult. And then coming home at least twice with holes in me and, you know, tubes sticking out of different places from wounds, that made it even worse.
Well, where was the second time you were wounded?
I was wounded in Somalia during
right.
the Black Hawk Down events there.
Oh, that's right. Of course, then you were wounded in Grenada. So, certainly, and then, of course, you eventually came to be a lieutenant general. Of course, that's were you still in charge of Delta Force at that time?
I was not. I was the deputy undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence in the Pentagon.
I see. Well, it wasn't that sort of quite a change from being a warrior to being somebody sitting behind the desk pretty well?
Oh, it was. It was a drastic change. But, you know, as you move up, you get away from the fun things in the Army and you start doing, you know, the things that nobody wants to do.
Well, of course, eventually, of course, you would get into this flap as far as your religious faith and your Christian faith, and the fact that you actually talked about it in churches, and yet didn't you always have clearance for everything that you did?
Yes, in fact, the Inspector General, when they investigated me, determined that I had not violated the ethics regulations, with the exception of not clearing my talks with the Public Affairs Office, which, frankly, Public Affairs didn't even know they were supposed to clear talks for churches. But that was really about the only thing they found. And, yes, I was speaking in churches where I was invited to speak about my faith, and that's exactly what I did. And the media got videotapes of that, and then, of course, extracted sound bites from that and built a story around those sound bites as to what I was really saying, which portrayed me as quite a religious fanatic and a great crusader.
Well, don't you think that, you know, they were out to get you because you were a Christian, because you were professing your faith, and more or less to intimidate anybody else who wanted to do the same?
No question about that. There were two people that had been after me for quite some time. One is the Reverend Barry Lynn with the Americans for the Separation of Church and State, and William Arkin, who is a writer for the Los Angeles Times, and others that I believe are both anti-Christian and anti-American.
And, of course, I really believe that this is one of the big things, is that we have people out there who hate Christianity. They're, frankly, anti-Christian. You're the only person besides myself I've ever heard that use that term, but I think that is the only explanation for what they did to you. And they did everything and coordinated a program to try to destroy your military career. And suddenly, who is this fellow Skinny? We won't ask you to name who he was, but you referred to him as Skinny, the fellow who was always there sort of trying to get you to say something to incriminate yourself.
Well, that's right. And I think he was determined that he had to find something, otherwise the media would go into their cycle of criticism again if he didn't find something that they could accuse me of or blame me for.
And didn't they were criticized for taking a ticket for a trip to a speaking engagement, and of course you didn't try to get funds, government funds. You actually saved the government money by taking the ticket, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was invited to speak at a men's conference, a Christian's men's conference in Toronto, and I said, you know, this is not official government business. You'll have to pay the ticket. My attorney, I had a staff judge advocate, a military lawyer, and I had him review it. He said, yeah, that's fine, as long as they're paying for it. The problem was I didn't list it on my financial disclosure form at the end of the year as a gift. You know, my argument was, this is not a gift. I went up there to give a speech at a men's conference, and they said, well, by regulation, it's a gift. So that was one of the things they found.
But, of course, in the end, they just sort of more or less exonerated you, didn't they? And just said there's just a lot of foolishness here. In fact, one of the things I thought was so interesting, you kept wanting to speak to the Inspector General, and they told you couldn't speak to the Inspector General. And you kept saying, well, I want to talk to him personally. And why don't you tell that story? I thought that, you know, it almost shows God's intervention.
Well, I insisted when they came in. Months after they started the investigation, they came in and said, well, we found another charge, and it's this ticket to Toronto. I realized then, okay, I see what's happening now. This is, they've got to find something. So I invited them to leave my office, and as they were going out, I said, I want to see the Inspector General. This is nonsense. This is, I can see what you're doing. I want to see the Inspector General. They said, no, you can't see him. Well, on a Sunday morning, one of my very dear friends that's from Nigeria said, you know, I have been praying for you, and God told me to pray for a Gamaliel. And Gamaliel, of course, was the teacher of the law that advised the, you know, the people that were trying them that if they were truly men of God, that they were going to, all of them were going to be in trouble for persecuting them. So he advised that they leave them alone. And he said, I'm praying for a Gamaliel. The very next day, I was walking down the hall of the Pentagon, and the inspector general stepped out of a doorway and called my name, and I looked at him, and he said, I'm the inspector general. I've read your rebuttal, every word of it, and I will not let them railroad you. So he was Gamaliel. It was clearly a divine intervention.
And, of course, really many, many times through your military career, you had this protection over you, and so many of your friends were killed or really, you know, severely injured, would never be the same again, lost arms and legs, and yet you survived.
Well, that's right, and I can only attribute that to God having me in the palm of his hand and giving me a miraculous protection.
Amen to that. Well, of course, your book is really inspiring, General, and I want you to know I really enjoyed reading it, and I recommend it. Now, how can people get copies of your book?
Well, it's in the bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and as well as Borders and Walden Books, and it's also on Amazon, and so they can order it online if they choose to.
All right, because the book is entitled Never Surrender, and of course it's a subtitle. It's actually written by you. Do you have somebody help you with writing that?
I had a wonderful lady help me with it that writes for World Magazine, Lynn Vincent.
All right, fine. And then, of course, the subtitle is Soldier's Journey to the Crossroads of Faith and Freedom. And, of course, time and time again, of course, especially later in your career when you're under attack because of your Christian faith, why, you know, the Lord saw you through that and through the difficult times. Looking back on your career, what was really the most significant thing that really happened to you during your years in the military and in the Delta Force and of course, you know, of course, eventually going into an administrative position in the Department of Defense?
Well, I think that's a tough question to answer because there have been so many significant things. But I think the most memorable period of my life was certainly the 2003 and 2004 period where I was under such an attack from the media because it was an enemy that I didn't know how to fight. I was prepared for a physical enemy. I was prepared for enemies in foreign countries. I was not prepared for the enemy at home. And the feeling of just a betrayal almost, I realize now that it was not about me. It was about God.
It really was.
I realized that it was an attack on the Bush administration as much as it was on me personally. But at the time I was going through it, it was very difficult, and I did not know how to fight it.
Well, of course, you're used to fighting an enemy, but of course, when you have people within the media and within the church, Barry Lind professes to be this great champion of righteousness, and I've certainly run into him myself, and certainly he is. Let's put it this way, he is no friend of Christianity, no matter what he claims. Well, General, of course, you know, the book is just full of adventure, and it really, of course, it's a hard book to put down. I really enjoy it because I think we all, I sort of would like to be of warriors, and of course, I'm not in a position to do that right at the present time, being 79 years of age, but I certainly would sit down in front of my exercise machine, read your book, and be enthralled. I just keep going along before I'd ordinarily get off the exercise machine. So it just keeps you right on going. What are you doing now with your life?
Well, I am an ordained minister now, and I have a ministry called Kingdom Warriors. We have a website, kingdomwarriors.net. And Dr. Stan, I'm teamed up with another great Special Forces officer, Dr. Stu Weber, up in Oregon. And we are running the ministry. I'm also teaching at a men's college, teaching leadership and ethics in a men's college. And enjoying a change in my life.
Well, because we have a good friend. I don't know, you probably don't know him, but he's a retired Marine Corps Colonel Ron Ray, and of course he's trying to fight this effort to, you know, take God out of the military, and of course to make it illegal for a Christian chaplain to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can just see this organized effort did it get the religious foundation of our nation? Because if we got the religious foundation of our military, you're not going to have soldiers who are going to fight the same way that they will when they have a belief in God and family and country, but in God first.
Dr. Stan, nearly, the latest figures I saw was over 86% of the people in America believe in God. Now, what we need to consider is we're asking young moms and dads to willingly allow their children to join the military and go off to war. And we have to understand that when we start taking God out of the military, it suddenly becomes an alien culture and an alien institution to the moms and dads around this country. It's going to hurt the military. You're not going to get people that are going to be willing to sign up, and you're not going to get the support of the American people when you say this is a godless entity within our country. And so I'm concerned, and I applaud Ron Ray for that.
And of course, you time and time again talk about how when you're going into a battle situation, all these warriors, you know, standing around singing God Bless America.
That's exactly right. It was a tradition within the Delta Force that we would pray and then sing God Bless America before we would launch our operations.
In fact, in one time when you were a very young officer, and didn't they actually call upon you to lead the prayer before you went into battle?
They did, in fact, going into Iran, going into Grenada, and going into Panama. I led the prayer, and then in Mogadishu, I was in command, so I had the chaplain lead the prayer and lead the God Bless America.
Well, that, because when you speak of going into Iran, that was on the hostage crisis back there in, 1980. Right, of course, and of course, it's just such a shame that, helicopters, so many of the dysfunction. And I first wondered, why did that happen? I thought the helicopter was fairly reliable. And the fact that you lost, four out of your 10 helicopters, or five out of your 10 helicopters, why did that happen?
I'm not a helicopter guy, but there were a couple of things. One is, while they were out on the USS Nimitz, someone sprayed salt water on at least one of the helicopters. So I think that had an effect. It was an accident. Secondly, there were some pretty bad dust storms called haboobs, and they apparently take a toll on helicopters. So we had bad weather. We had, a bad situation there on board the Nimitz, and I can only tell you what I know.
Oh, that, of course, you read the book, you find out here's General Boykin running, trying to get on this plane that says leaving. He doesn't want to be the last man there, left behind, as it were.
Yes.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
A secret unit in the Pentagon. Dr. Stan, there are no secrets in the Pentagon, especially secret units. So, and they said I was involved in Abu Ghraib prison and the atrocious things there. I had nothing to do with that. So I was accused of quite a number of things, and even when others testified under oath that I was not involved, they continued to perpetuate their lies. I've been accused of ordering airstrikes in Somalia as a way of retaliating for the Battle of the Black Sea there. And, no three-star in the Pentagon orders strikes by a four-star command. So There's been a lot of lies and certainly misrepresentations.
One of the things, of course, one of the terrorists had actually made a remark that the Americans would never catch him because Allah would protect him. That Allah would protect him, and of course, when you met him, you know, after he had been captured as this terrorist, and you said, "Well, my God is greater than your God," and of course, they really picked up on that.
Yeah, I didn't say that to him. I said to him, "You underestimated our God."
Okay.
Later on in a church in Daytona Beach, I was telling that story, and I said, I knew that my God was bigger than
right.
his. And that was picked up, and it was relayed that I had said it to him, and I certainly did not do that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the thing is, of course, they were out to get you. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad you survived. I'm glad you're in the ministry now and, of course, preaching the Word of God, General. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure and a real privilege for me.
Dr. Stan, thank you very much.
God bless. Thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You.
Bye-bye. And again, our guest has been Lieutenant General William Boykin, and, of course, I've been talking about his book, Never, Never Surrender. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Lieutenant General William Boykin. I've been looking forward to it. It's a fascinating book. I've read it all the way through, and we've got another fascinating interview tomorrow with a Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd, who was on a secret mission in North Korea during the Second World War. So you'll certainly want to be listening then as well. These are dedicated men who've given their lives because they believe in America. Many of them, of course, don't understand the true spiritual nature of the battle that's pretty behind everything going on. That many times there are people within the upper echelon of our government who are working against the best interests of the United States and sending our boys off to fight and bleed and suffer and die, where they've already determined that they're going to lose. And you get into the background of what happened in Sudan with the Black Hawk Down issue. They had sent all of the terrorists down there knowing the attack was coming. How did they know the attack was coming? How did they know what weapons to have? Where did all the weapons come from? They were watching, if you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, they were watching what the Americans were going, and they knew where they were going, they knew what the intelligence was, and all the people were there just waiting for them. So there's much more to this story than has ever been told, and of course we've covered that in some of our other programs, and maybe we can talk about it again. But, of course, Osama bin Laden had planned this whole thing when he was in Sudan. And, of course, when the Sudanese government wanted to turn Osama bin Laden over to the American government refused to take him. And recently, the man is on trial, the so-called driver of bin Laden. The FBI agents testified that when they talked to him, he said, look, it's your fault. You could have got Osama bin Laden. You could have got him in Sudan. You could have got him in Afghanistan. And you didn't try to get him. And that was part of the transcript of the trial. And why wouldn't we be trying to get Osama bin Laden? Well, of course, any of you would like to see the article out of the Washington Times we have, I think it was the 5th or 6th of October of 2001, where a high government official said, we're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden first. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify this war? And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. How would we justify the war? You'll find that quotation, the exact source of it, in our little set of pamphlets, Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. And we have another little pamphlet. They're all inexpensive, $3.95 for each pamphlet. The story of 911, or called the true story of 911. You need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out, because nothing as it appears to be. Things did not happen as we're told, and many of the people there at the time do not understand. Very, very few Americans understand that we brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba knowing full well he was a communist, and if you doubt that, you need to get my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, and we took a film crew to Palm Beach, Florida. It's in our DVD, The World Revolution. The World Revolution, you need to get it, you need to watch it, you need to understand that Fidel Castro is the best enemy that we could possibly purchase. We sent those boys into the Bay of Pigs not to win but to lose, the same way we sent our boys into Vietnam not to win but to lose. And I fear that we sent our boys at Black Hawk Down not to win but to lose. Somebody was feeding information to the Islamic radicals. who would do a thing like that? Well, who would be financing the Pakistani government that's financing the Taliban today? People in the highest levels of our State Department who march to a different drumbeat because they all come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And that organization is a front for a secret society created back in 1891. If you want documentation, you need to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. It was the same people who brought communism to China. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, written by the finest historian of the last century, Carol Quigley, who was a liberal college professor who would probably disagree with me just about everything, but he's a wonderful source of information about the secret society that controls America today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and of course you need to get the World Revolution, Brotherhood of Darkness, Tragedy and Hope, the History of the World in Our Time. Please pray for America.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.